The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah.
Good morning and welcome to our Brooksville Church of Christ online service. What a great song. I love that song, The Storm is Passing Over. We are in the midst of a storm and we have a lot of concerns, and we are going to get through all of this together. And I'm thankful that you're able to be with us in this manner of which we are able to speak together and share together in the study of God's Word. Thank you for being with us today. And we need to continue to pray about our nation, about our president, about our leaders, about our community leaders. And we need to continue to pray that this storm will be over soon and that we'll be able to assemble back together again. And we will be. I think that as we talk about some things tonight, we're going to be looking at James chapter 1 and some realities that James gives us, and some exhortations and things that we need to know that's going to be important about these next few weeks. And so we need to always keep these things in our minds and in our thoughts. But we are delighted that you're with us this morning as we gather together and worship with the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Old Testament, the last of the Pentateuch, as it was written by Moses, that will be our text. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is where we will spend most of our time this morning. The book of Deuteronomy means the second law. To a large extent, the context of this book is a repetition, I can't even say the word this morning, of the law of Moses. And when Moses is penning this book, it is at the end of the 40-year wilderness wanderings. The children of Israel are in the plains of Moab, north of the Arnon River, east of the Dead Sea. We know, of course, that because of the sin of Moses, he's not going to be allowed to go into the land of Canaan. Aaron and Miriam have died. And so what's happening now is that Moses is kind of wrapping things up. The book of Deuteronomy is a retelling of the law, and it's also a means by which Moses is trying to exhort and encourage a new generation of Israelites. 40 years prior, the children of Israel had come to the Kadesh Barnea. They were going to supposedly enter the promised land and conquer it. But because of the bad report of the 10 spies, the people rejected the counsel of Moses. They rejected the counsel of God, and they rebelled. And although Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful spies, tried to get the people to go up into the land, they refused. Well, because of that, God declared that the people wander for 40 years and that the generation of those 20 years and older would perish. And so they have. And so Moses is 120 years old, and his eye is not dim nor his strength abated, but God has said, you will not enter the land of Moses, or land land of Canaan. But what he does in this eighth division of the book is that he gives the people some very strong encouragement in two ways. He tells the people, first of all, you need to remember the Lord. But then when you do that, you need to beware of the Lord. And this is a theme that is really recurring throughout the book of Deuteronomy, and it's something that God is trying to instill in the people about, you have been through a very difficult time. You have experienced things that you would never have believed would have happened. You have seen things that no one else would have imagined happened. You are a remarkable people. But there's a better day coming. But then there's a warning that when that better day comes, that you need to not forget the Lord and forget his promises. And so we're going to take a moment this morning and read from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to listen to the warnings and the admonitions that I think will serve us well today. So if you have your Bibles open, let's open them to the book of Deuteronomy. And let's begin reading in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is Moses now speaking to the children of Israel. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so he humbled you. He allowed you to be hungry. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive tree and olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. And then it shall be, if by any means you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. There's a lot of exhortations that Moses gives. The first thing that he wants to do is that he wants to tell the people, you need to remember the Lord. And look at what he tells them to do. The very first thing, and a prominent, of course, of all things, that you need to remember to obey the word of the Lord. This change does not change the will of God. The past 40 years and the suffering that you've endured, that doesn't change the word of God. You need to remember the commandments of the Lord, because you're about to cross over into this new land and you're about to receive blessings abundantly Do not forget the Lord your God and his commandments. Now, there was a purpose in all that wilderness wanderings, aside from the fact that he is punishing them because of their rebellion. You will notice that he did that to humble them. It was a hard life. They complained often about how they wanted to go back to Egypt, where that they had life better, which really was not the case, because when they were in Egypt, they were in bondage. But the days of the 40 years of wanderings was not an easy task. I mean, you're always up and moving, and you're like 2 million people or more, and you're just walking around for 40 years. You have no abiding place. You have no real home. You're nomadic. You just go from place to place. And God said, I did that because I wanted to humble you. And I think that, of course, that was accomplished. But he also wanted to test them. He says, I'm going to bring this hardship upon you because I want to see what's in you. I want to see what kind of metal you've got. I want to see what kind of people you've got, because he says, I want to know what's in your heart. One of the things that we find out about suffering is the fact that it tells us what's in our heart and whether you're going to keep his commandments, because that's related to the first one. Number one, remember to keep the commandments. But the reason that I did this to you, so are you going to keep my commandments or not? And then the third thing is that the purpose of God doing this was to humble them and to show them that you do not live by bread alone. Jesus will use this when Satan comes and tempts him and tries to get him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus says, my will is to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is to be doing his will. Life does not consist of the abundance of things we have. Now, yes, God fed the people. He gave them water to drink. He did not let their clothes wear out. Their feet did not swell. Their shoes, I mean, he blessed them with so many things. But the purpose of that was to show them dependence upon him, that it's not about the things of this world, and that the purpose of God making the people suffer was to remind them, you don't live by bread alone. You live by the word of God. Puts things into perspective. And that he did everything for them, because imagine for 40 years you wore the same clothes. That could be good or bad. But, you know, God provided. They didn't have to go and worry about their clothes. And he loved them as a father, because he says in verse 5, this was chastening. But I love you, and that's why I chastened you. And then in verse 6, he shows that that is the importance of obedience, is that you need to walk and to keep the commandments of the Lord, because there's a lot of great things that are coming. When you cross that Jordan River, blessings abundant are going to come. The promised land is a land promised through the grace of God, and receiving the blessings of all those things. And he talks about there in verse 7, you know, the land of the brooks of the waters and the fountains and the springs and the wheat and the barley and the vines. You didn't plant these things. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. You're going to live in cities that you didn't construct. I mean, God's giving you this land. And you think about all the abundance. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God took care of them. Their parents had died in the rebellion. And this new generation was going to receive all of these wonderful things. And that the rest of the story is filled with incredible blessings. They would no longer wander. They would have a place to live. They would no longer have to look for food. They would have wheat and barley and pomegranates and figs and all these things. There was something to live for, but there was something that they needed to heed before they crossed the Jordan. All these blessings are coming now. They haven't got it yet. All those blessings are coming. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a wonderful day. Life is going to change. It's going to be wonderful. But there's a warning. Verse 11. The warning starts with the word, beware. Having reminded them of all that God had done for them and the trials that they had endured, their hardships were going to be over. It's going to come to an end. But the warning of what happens is, he says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, judgments, and statutes. It is easy to say that, well, now things are so great and things are so wonderful, I can take my ease and drink and be merry. No. The problem with man is that when he's no longer being tried, he tries less. There's an old Japanese proverb that says, once on shore, pray no more. That's easy to do. It's easy to be in a period of conflict and to be in a period of trial. And yet when things change and it becomes better, oh, we forget God. and we're not going to keep his commandments, and we're not going to keep his statutes. Prosperity brings about the heart of forgetfulness. And that's what he says in verse 12. Prosperity. When you have eaten and you're full and you have built beautiful houses and you do all of these things, and then you forget God. And then something else happens. Did you see that in verse 17? It's an amazing thing how that God says, I'm going to give you all these things, and I'm going to bless you beyond measure, and you're going to enjoy all these things, but don't you forget me when things are going good. And do not think, hey, I did all this. In verse 17, you remember what he said? Then you say in your heart, my power, my might. You know, the whole idea that I've done all these things. And that's what prosperity does. That's what goodness does. That's what blessings do. We are cursed by blessings. Because a blessing can be a blessing, but a blessing can be a curse if we believe that we've done it by our own hand. And the blessing becomes a curse because we forget God. And that's what he's warning them about. The warning is to remember that the Lord is where the blessings come from. And that the blessings come from the power of God. Those 40 years of wandering should not be lost on these people. They should let those 40 years embed themselves in their lives when they're living in their prosperity. And remember, those were tough days. Those were days that tested us. Those were days that proved us. And we're going to use those days to make our days better. They needed to remember that by the power of God that they were brought about. You see that in verse 18? In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. In other words, there's where it comes from. When this journey gets over, when this wilderness wandering gets over, and everything's okay now, don't forget me. Don't think that it's all okay now, I can relax. No. You need to remember, it's from me. I'm the one that brought this about. And you need to give me glory and not to forget me. And there was a warning, if you do forget me, then I'm going to forget you. So we have the children of Israel. They've been through a tough time. They've been through a difficult time. They're about to cross the river, finally get to the promised land. And God said, okay, things are going to be great over there. But when you enjoy those things over there, don't forget me. Don't act like this was not something that happened in your life. Let this experience tender your relationship with me to be more diligent and to be more faithful. And as I was thinking about a lesson for this morning, I couldn't help but think about, this chapter, this idea that here are the people of Israel, they've been through a very hard time, but it was going to come over. It was going to come to an end. And it did. They crossed the River Jordan, conquered Jericho, had a problem with Ai, but they conquered the land. Things worked out. But I couldn't help but think that the human nature is that sometimes when we've been through some pretty tough times, where we can't wait to get out of it, and when God blesses us by getting out of it, it's a tendency because it's a natural thing, that we then slide back into those old ways that we had before. Paul Harvey was a popular radio host in the 50s, and I think he lived to be up until about 2008. One of his popular shows is remembered by his stories that he would conclude with, and now for the rest of the story. And the lesson that we learn and we glean from Deuteronomy chapter 8 is to understand the rest of the story. And that's what God is doing here. Is he saying, okay, Moses, you're here, you're giving the people instructions. All right, what's about to happen is the rest of the story. You're getting to get over it. Let me tell you the rest of the story. COVID-19 is not over, but there's coming the rest of the story when it comes to an end. It's going to come to an end. I don't know when. That's the big question. But it's going to come to an end one day. The question will be what we will do with the rest of the story. And I think that's important to think about now. I realize that that day hasn't come, but we need to be like the children of Israel before they crossed the Jordan River. Okay, we're getting ready to go over. What's that going to be like? This time has been very trying. The world has yet awakened to the full impact of what this virus is going to have on the world's economy, what it's going to have on the condition of health and the basic welfare. So many things that we have taken for granted, gone. I mean, in some ways, about everything. I mean, about everything that we've taken for granted, it's gone. For now. And let's just say that we're in the wilderness wandering here. What will we do when we cross the river and return to our normal lives? Well, God tells us what he wants us to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, I want you to remember my commandments. That doesn't change. And I want you to remember that this thing that we're going through should humble us. And it should make us more aware of the presence of God. And it should be looked at as a test, because it is. We shouldn't look at it as a negative thing. We're going to talk about that tonight, about how this is a very positive experience that we're having. Because this is not something that is going to be a negative thing. It's going to be a very positive thing. And that God has allowed this to happen. And the fact that this is something that has woken the whole world up to some realities about things. And that we look back at all the blessing that we have got. We look back at all the things that we have been receiving of God. And we've taken them all for granted. And we realized all the blessings that God has given us. The very nature of assembling together. About having a time to come together as God's people. You remember, as we often say, and I remember growing up, is that, you know, Lord, keep us from those outside forces that will come and inhibit us. I don't know what they were, but I tell you, this has been kind of crazy. This has changed. We can't go to restaurants. We can't associate. We can't do a lot of things. I mean, we're washing our hands to the point that there's nothing left. I mean, and we need to do those things. I get all that. But we need to keep the commandments of the Lord and to walk in his ways. And we need to remember that through this period that we're going through, God has not left us. He has not abandoned us. And he is going to be with us. And when this gets over, and when we get back to normality, whatever that is, and it may never be normal again as we've understood it, do not become lackadaisical and become like, well, everything's okay. That's the warning. Beware that we do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. And it's very easy to think about, as we kind of gather things back together and we begin doing things like we've been doing before, the people just start taking easy again. And people, you know, they don't come to worship services anymore. Maybe they just begin to be lackadaisical again. It's a reality. We don't need to let that happen. Don't let this experience be lost on the purpose of it, because lessons we learn today should not be lost in the classroom of tomorrow. Lessons we learn today do not need to be lost in the classroom of tomorrow. There is a purpose in this if we look at it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says that afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained by it. This is an experience that should be training us. This is an experience that should be getting us ready, of preparing things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 17, in a context at least of the phrase that life is about preparing for a better life, Paul said that our present troubles are small, but they're not going to last long. But they produce for us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Sure, these are tough times, but it ought to be times that we can be together and we can be stronger, so that when we come back to our world again, we are serving God more diligently. We can do things more clearly than we've ever done before. And we will not lose sight of these things. I pray. That for our brethren and for the Brooksville family, as I'm a part of, that when we come back together, we're going to be so more emboldened, we're going to be so more powerful, we're going to be so more courageous, we're going to be so more dedicated. It's going to change our lives. This place is going to just come just full of power because of what this has done for us, because of the things that we've realized, the things that we've lost, the things that we wish we had, and we will never take those things for granted. We're going to stop treating worship as being something that is trivial. we're not going to be people who are going to be habitually late to services all the time because we don't respect the worship of God. We're not going to be people who are going to casually come whenever we feel like we're going to come. We're going to be there no matter what. We're not going to allow anything to come in the way of our service to God. It doesn't matter how popular it is, how important it is. My service to God is going to be key to that. And I'm going to be there every time the doors are open because right now they're not open. And then we have the grace and the power of God to learn that I'm going to share the gospel with people. I'm going to let people know how important the gospel is because I have wandered in the wilderness and I've been blessed by God. I want people to see Christ living in me. I want to know that I'm going to be a part of this and that I'm going to be engaged in it. I'm going to get my children involved in it. I'm going to bring my children to every time those doors are open. I'm going to put my children into Bible classes. I'm going to teach them at home. I'm going to walk with them in the way, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to be a parent that is going to do everything I can to get my child to heaven. I'm going to be a husband and a wife that is getting one another to heaven. I'm going to be the best employee, employer, whatever I'm going to be. I'm going to be a devoted citizen of the kingdom of this world so that I can be a devoted citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm going to be the kind of person that God wants me to be. In other words, what Moses is trying to tell the people, you be the kind of people that God wants you to be. Let this 40-year experience be an experience that will mold your life. As bad as this crazy thing is that we're going through, let it be a positive thing to help us do some things. What can I do? I'll tell you what we can do. Romans 12. Here's what we need to be doing now and even later. We need to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We need to be in honor, give preference to one another. We don't need to be lagging in diligence. We need to be fervent in our spirit. We need to serve the Lord, rejoice in our hope. We need to rejoice in tribulation and be patient. We need to be continuing steadfast in prayer. Folks, if this hasn't taught you to pray, I don't know what will. This needs to have taught us to pray more and more. We need to distribute to the needs of the saints, to be more conscious of the needs of others. We need to be given to hospitality. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We need to have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if as much as possible, as depends upon us, live peaceably with all men. Don't overcome evil by evil. Let this be a good thing. We're going to all get through this, and I pray that we will be stronger tomorrow than we were when we began this journey. Do not lose heart. Do not forget God. Pray for the president and the leaders that are guiding us through this time. Pray for one another and our church family to stay healthy. Pray for our folk who are on the front lines of this health crisis. There is much to be thankful for. There is much to be thankful about. Do not forget God, even when this thing gets over. Prepare now to say that I am a dedicated, I'm a warrior, I am a servant of God, and I will not let this make me weaker. I'll make it stronger. How can we overcome? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world. You know how we're going to get over this thing? Two words. Our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's tough. And I know none of us like it, but we're going to get through this thing. And I pray that it makes us better. And it makes us stronger. It makes us more powerful. It brings us closer together. And that a year from now, we will be as dedicated more than we've ever been in our lives. 5 years from now, the people will come to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is in this place. We pray for that to be done. We pray that this thing will come to an end soon and that we can regain the work of teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer as we bring our lesson to a close. Our God and our Father in heaven, thank you because you are our God. We recognize that you have blessed us with so many things, and in this wilderness of journey that we have been through, that you have guided us, that you have protected us, that you have blessed us, you have provided for us. There is so much that we can be thankful for. There is so much that we take for granted. There are so many things that so many people do not have that we are blessed with. We know that there are many who are struggling in this world today. We know that in our community that there are people that are struggling with their health. We know that there are many who are struggling with their loss of jobs and doubts of jobs and the economics and families that are filled with worry and complaint. But we know as people of God, Father, that you hold us in the hollow of your hand and that your love and your majesty is so beyond all these things. And that we trust in you, Father. May we put our heart firmly placed in thy will and thy commandments, and that through prayer we spend time talking to you, and that we will spend time in your word, that we will come to know you better. We know that as we spend time in your word, that we will be encouraged and uplifted. We are thankful for those who have gathered with us today in this occasion of which we can speak together and share together in the word of God. We pray your blessings that you would empower us with these things as the days draw nigh, that this disease, this virus will come to an end. We pray for our president and for those who are in leadership. We pray that this virus will come to an end soon and that we'll be able to come back together, but give us that power to do so with faith and that we will never lose sight of the blessings that we have with you. Forgive us of our failings. Bless us with our courage to face those uncertainties with trust in you. We're mindful of those who are on the front lines of this health care, and we pray your blessings to hold them especially and be with all of those who need thy care. For those that we mentioned from time to time, little Lucy, that you would continue to watch over her little tiny body and to give her the things that you need, that she needs, and that you would bless Vicky, and to be with Arnold Summers as he is having some difficulties with his knee. Everybody, Father, that we may know about. Bless us with your love. Protect us this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And amen. If you turn to the book of Hebrews in the 9th chapter, we're going to talk just a moment about the reason that we gather on this day and we assemble on this day is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There are so many things that we could talk about in the Lord's Supper. In Hebrews chapter 9, I'm going to begin reading in verse 16, because the focal point, obviously, of all of these things has to do with what Jesus has done for us and how he has given us this promise of eternal life through his blood. The Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, and saying, this is the blood of the covenant which as God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Whenever we think about the Lord's Supper, we realize that this is the representative of the grace of God, that through the blood of Jesus Christ we have the redemption of our sins. That Jesus was willing to offer his body as a sacrifice, his, not ours. That he was a sinless man who offered himself before all men to be saved. And that the blood that he shed upon that cross is the cleansing blood. That's what put us into a covenant relationship with God when we walked into the waters of baptism and rose. It was the blood of Jesus that washed us from our sins. And so as we take of the Lord's Supper, we think about the bread which represents his body. And for the sacrifice that he had, the physical enduring that he had to engage in for our sins. And he did so because of our sins. Let's offer a prayer for the bread. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for loving us by giving us your son. But Father, we thank you for the love that Jesus had in all the suffering and the incredible pain that he endured. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called 12 legions of angels. But he didn't, and we're thankful for that, because he endured such physical pain because of our sin, and yet because of that, he took away our sin. As we partake of the bread, Father, we pray that you would bless us to remember that sacrifice, remember what he did for us, and that the blessing that is found in his sacrifice is that we can call you our Father. Bless us, bread, as we partake. Bless us as we think about the body of Jesus. In his name we pray, and amen. In our text, again, what we find is that the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us from our sins. We know that we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus, not by things of gold and silver that perishes. We're redeemed by the blood of the Son of God, redeemed by the blood of the one who was deity, that was divine, that became man. They treated Jesus so cruelly, and he bled. And then finally, when he died, and the centurion took his spear and put it into his side, came water and blood. It is in the blood of Jesus Christ that we have the forgiveness of our sins. And so God wants us to remember, as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper when he took the cup and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." This is the blood of the covenant. As we take of this blood to remember what he has done for us. Let's pray. Again, our Father, we thank you for your Son, but especially for the sacrifice, but Father, for your love and allowing his blood to cleanse us from our sins. And from that time that we were washed in the waters of baptism, that blood cleansed us of our sins. And as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents his blood, that we'll remember from whence we've come, that we've been saved through that blood, and that as we walk in the light, that his blood cleanses us. And as we look to the blood of Jesus Christ, that we know that we have the hope of heaven. Because we know that in this blood is the promise of a new day. Because Jesus died, but he arose. And because of that resurrection, we have the hope of eternal life because of the blood that he shed. And as we partake, let us look to his coming, that you will come soon, Father, and that you will bring us to be at home with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we hope that you've had a great morning this morning. Thank you again for joining us for this lesson. We hope that you'll be back today at 5 o'clock. We're going to be talking about a lesson from James chapter 1 about how to endure through trials with patience and to learn the purpose of all of that. Keep the faith in God. He is always greater than all the problems that we have, and we'll get through this. And when we do, we'll be able to be back together and join together and worship together. Bless this day for your glory. We will see you again at 5 o'clock. Until then, have a great day.